Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
I'm good. My stomach's rumbling. I've not had my breakfast, but I always think that not eating breakfast makes me feel a bit more alive, a bit more excitable, a bit
more. Oh, me too.
You know, like when David Cameron used to go on telly and he would purposefully not go to the loo before he started because it gave him an urgency and a single-mindedness.
Really?
Yeah, you'd think that would distract a person, but that used to give him a single-mindedness, a kind of like, it used to unfuzz his hair, his brain a little bit. So yeah, that's me of a morning, not eating breakfast. I feel alive, Chris, I feel alive.
You are at least as good as David Cameron. Mm. God, what an arsehole he was. But yeah, I find the same. Like, when I go up in the morning and I have like a coffee and I don't eat anything, I'm like way more switched on and way more ready to go. And then I crash at 1 p.m. and it's a disaster. But for the morning, I'm fully switched on. What have you been up to this week though, Pete? I think it's our 4-year anniversary of the Abroad Japan podcast as of next week.
We really should be across this sort of thing, shouldn't we, Chris? We really
should.
Somebody
has to be.
I mean, we should get like a producer who remembers this sort of thing. We can't be tasked with this. We're busy thinking about what we're going to have for tea or what we're having for breakfast, for crying out loud. I think I mentioned it over Christmas. My little project over Christmas was modifying a arcade machine, one of those arcade one-up things. They're kind of off the peg, Taito or Sega or, you know, Capcom kind of little joystick. It's like a mini arcade cab, basically. And I tasked myself with modding it and putting new buttons in, putting a new joystick in and putting a little box that gives me access to, like, you know, 1,000 better games than what was available in the original box. And so I've done that. And I spent all last night playing a video game called Burning Fight.
Burning Fight. What's the premise of Burning Fight?
It's an SNK game, and it is it's very underwhelming. It was basically released to defeat Double Dragon in the video game Final Fight. Final Fight was one of those games where, when I was a kid, I'd only had like an Amstrad CPC or an Amiga or whatever, and you'd have these kind of like fighting games that you only saw on the arcade, and they'd be like these big barrel-chested maniacs that were always facing to the right, and they're like these big muscle boys that I don't know what it is about Japanese fighting video games. They're obsessed with men who did no leg day but a lot of chest day, big chesty men. And basically, Burning Fight is a game about Duke and Billy, two popular and renowned New York City police detectives. They're looking out for a Japanese crime syndicate, and they're in Japan. And they've met a police officer and a martial arts expert, and the martial arts expert in Japan has agreed to join the New York Police Department for one mission only: to take down the Yakuza crime syndicate.
Isn't that Black Rain?
In their reign of terror. Say again.
Isn't that like Black Rain, the Michael Douglas film? It sounds very similar.
Be like any bloody film, for crying out loud. It's just silly. It's just an excuse to be in Japan. But but what made me laugh was the first scene is the game's clearly set in Osaka, and I know that because A, it's clearly Osaka, but B, the first scene, the first thing you do is run up to, you know, I think it's Gricco, the chocolate brand that obviously started in Osaka or based around Osaka. You know, they've got a stupid fucking clown that's got like red and white stripes, and he's got glasses, big Harry Potter glasses, and he bangs a cymbal and stuff, and he's in the shops of Osaka. The first thing you do is kick him in the head for no fucking reason. I was like, why is he fighting the chocolate man from Osaka? So that's what I've been playing last night. I'm very much enjoying it, and I'm getting pretty good at it, to be honest, Chris, especially when you don't have to put coins in and you can just press a button to give you more coins.
It sounds awfully violent. Sounds awfully violent indeed.
It's just like your Streets of Rage or your Final Fight or your Double Dragon or your Target Renegade. It's all very derivative, but fun. Lots of fun.
You're such a peaceful, fun-loving young man, and yet you play these awful, violent video games. Just before we went live, Pete was telling me he's been playing this game, Teardown, where you have to destroy like a house in 30 seconds. How much stress have you got built up, Pete? What's happened to you at the start of 2022? Smashing up houses.
Down people, other people have built.
Stabbing clowns in the face in Osaka. Honestly, what's become of you? It does sound very similar to the opening of Black Rain. Have you seen Black Rain? It's a classic.
No, I don't think I have. Black Rain. Wow.
It came out like 1988, and it's about Michael Douglas comes to Japan to catch like a Yakuza boss, and he teams up with the Japanese police. And
they keep
referring to Michael Douglas as a gaijin. The woman he meets, he's like an American woman working in Osaka as a sort of hostess club woman. She's like, the Japanese don't trust you. You're a gaijin, a foreign barbarian. And it's like so over the top ridiculous. It's worth watching just for that. But the cinematography is pretty good.
Yeah. He's in Osaka as well. Looks like he's in Ridley Scott. Oh, cool.
It is Ridley Scott. Yeah, yeah. It's it's off the back of Blade Runner. It's got very similar cinematography. And that is why there's a really cool shot where they like filmed on Dotonbori Bridge near your beloved clown Glicko chocolate character who you assaulted. And it just looks so cool. They just make Japan look like this really like cyberpunky, sinister, dark place. Especially Osaka, which isn't hard to be fair. Osaka
Andy
is
Garcia
pretty gritty.
Is in it as well.
Andy Garcia. He meets a nasty end with a sword and his head. Spoilers.
Well, spoilers. It's all right. 1989's Black Rain.
It happens very early on in the film. And the black rain is a reference to the rain that rained down on Hiroshima after the atomic bomb. And lots of characters make Michael Douglas feel guilty about that, or his character in the film. Then. Good film, though. Go and check it out. It sounds ridiculous, and it is like comically bad at times, but it is a good film, and I do recommend watching it.
Fancy it.
It's good. We got a story this week from Autumn, who says, "Hello, Chris." Autumn's such a nice name, isn't it? Of all the spring, solid. Of all the seasons... Autumn's the nicest of all. Hello, Chris and Pete. I'm Autumn, a student from Bath. I wanted to tell you a story from my solo trip to Japan in 2014. I was 18 at the time and found a cheap return flight to Tokyo for only £280. The catch was that it required two stopovers each way, one being an entire 24-hour stopover in Vienna, and it was for just 5 days in Tokyo. I jumped at the chance with that price and booked a cheap hostel in Asakusa for the entire stay. 24-hour stopover. You had a laugh.
Amazing.
That is ridiculous.
You can't go wrong for £280, but you really have to make the most of your time in Vienna. Otherwise, you're just like, I'm just in Vienna for 24 hours. I don't want to be. I just want to be back in London or in Japan.
It sounds like a YouTube challenge, doesn't it? 24 hours in Vienna. What can I do? I really do want to go to Vienna, though. After landing in Narita and getting off the train at the wrong stop, I managed to eventually find my way to the hostel quite late in the evening. In the dorm room, I got chatting to two Swedish girls who invited me to join them for drinks, and I took them up on their offer. A small assortment of tourists and locals were gathered in the downstairs bar, and while we were chatting, a local Japanese guy in his early 30s made his way over to me and started chatting in broken English. Oh. Our chat about general stuff was going all right, and I even attempted to speak my own bit of broken Japanese from Duolingo, before he proudly announced, I like big girls, to me, to me with a wink. Truly flattering flirting right there. There was no hint of flirting during our whole chat, so it caught me slightly off guard, and the fact that he looked like he would genuinely get somewhere with that comment, it took me aback. Should I say thank you? Should I say fuck off? I had no idea what to respond. Bear in mind, I was UK size 10 at the time, and this guy was a great deal bigger than me.
Big girl, 10. 10 quite small. Fuck me.
10's like
tiny.
Big,
fuck me.
God's sake. In the end, I just kind of nodded along and made an excuse that I had to go to bed. The next morning, as I was picking up my SIM card from the reception, they told me there had been a guy looking for me. I presume it was him, which creeped me out. Luckily, I wasn't staying there long. Managed to avoid bumping into him again. Is this normal kind of flirting in Japan? If so, I feel for the women of Japan. It wasn't the best feeling to be called a big girl. And the next day, when I went clothes shopping in Shibuya, I was once again made to feel like shit when I couldn't fit into any item of clothing. Cheers, chaps. Autumn, student from Bath.
Oh, what a fucking nerd. What a fucking nerd this guy. Big boy Barry. I like big girl Barrys. I like big girl Barry. Geez. What an experience. I'm sorry you were meant to feel like that, Autumn, but that guy's probably very alone right now, because if he thinks that's acceptable. I think revenge is a dish, well served to cold and stuff, but yeah, he's probably alone and a bit miserable, because he clearly hasn't learned how to talk to people.
Some uplifting catharsis there. He's alone. I mean, people here, you know, the number of obese, overweight people in Japan is very, very low by Western standards. And, you know, I remember when I used to do, like, tests for things like cholesterol or body weight, BMI, I was always well over, like, the Japan sort of standards. I think Japan's standards must be kind of different from the UK in terms of what is considered overweight. At least I hope it is. But they are brutal. Like, remember that band? Do you ever see that idol group band called Chubbiness? A group called Chubbiness. The idols were all chubby. But they weren't really chubby. They were just like normal-sized girls by Western standards. It's just people put a big emphasis on being a stick figure in Japan. People are so damn slim.
Yeah, I mean, there's not that, but they're actually the women are obviously a couple of inches shorter as well. So like, you can't. So a lot of the clothes are just smaller by virtue of the fact that the women are a little bit smaller over there. But yeah, wow, what a guy. Sorry about that, Autumn. But thanks for the story. Thanks for telling us you're in Vienna just fuming for an entire day. Fucking prick! I'm gonna push him in a river.
And Autumn asked, is this normal kind of thing? Is this like normal flirting? No, that guy was just a bit of a dick.
No.
But just a bit of a dick as far as I know. But if you do stand in places like Shibuya or in front of like train stations, you will get like guys come up to you and chat you up a bit, like the Nampa kind of people. I happened to a friend of mine recently in Shibuya, and she had to sort of fend him off. This man was sort of asking, do you have a boyfriend? And I think she said yes. And he was like, I can be a better boyfriend. And she was like, no. Oh. And it was just really interesting talking to her about it, how this guy was just really persistent, because that's not something you do typically get in Japan, right? Where strangers come up to you and randomly start chatting you up. That's kind of rare. But if you go to those places like Shibuya, like Shinjuku, like Roppongi, it's more likely to happen there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might get for no reason.
Look out for yourself. All right, Chris, that's all I'm saying. Look out for yourself. Don't loiter around busy tube stations,
because
someone will have you away.
Noted. You'll fall in love. Dear, oh dear. What have we got this week, though? In terms of news stories, what's going down in Japan, Mr. Donaldson?
Chris, I mean, if you can hear him, you probably can't, because whenever... So, well, how are you opening your bottle of coffee?
It's already
you
opened.
You just opened your bottle of coffee in the most ornate, spectacular way. You had your arm backwards. You were like doing like... It's like something out of a horror film. Anyway, my stomach's really rumbling, so apologies if you can hear it. That's just... Again, I'm not eating breakfast. That's the problem.
ASMR.
You made the ASMR, stomach rolling in the background. Apologies. Chris, I think this is one of my favourite stories ever featured on the Abroad in Japan podcast, because it's so unique. It's quintessentially Japanese, in my opinion, and it's just mental. So, a Japanese man has broken into his school to recover some stuff that a teacher took from him, which is a weird enough story. A grown man, has broken into his old school to recover some stuff that were confiscated by a teacher. But it was over 40 years ago, Chris.
Bloody hell, that's the day you were born, that man had his things taken as you're 40. Yeah. 10 years in before I was born. Bloody
hell. In Mikasa, in a junior high school in the town of Mikasa, in Hokkaido, a male student whose name hasn't been released, we don't know what was actually confiscated, but this guy really wanted this item back. He wanted it back. So last week, while the school was closed for winter vacation, this guy, accompanied by his girlfriend, snuck into the school trying to recover his contraband. They managed to get into one of the school's staff room, it wasn't long until an employee who was on the premises heard them talking loudly. Excitedly, you would imagine, and he called the police. And so the couple were still in the school when the officers arrived on the scene. This guy is 63 years old, and his girlfriend is 58. Both of them attended this middle high school they broke into, but they also both graduated from it well over 40 years ago. And they still live in the town. They both live in Imozawa, in the city neighbouring Mikasa to the east. And this guy was so fuming for 40 years. He's been thinking about this for 40 bloody years. He said he's not sure, that they're not sure whether he thought that his Game Boy or his dirty magazine was in like a cupboard still there after 40 years. He was hoping to find his teacher's contact information in the school's files. So perhaps he was going to just do that. But either way,
oh my God,
fascinating stuff. 40 years later. I mean, you would think that your teacher probably wouldn't be alive anymore, would you, at 63 years old? I mean,
probably not.
Bare minimum, they'd be 83. Bare minimum. It'd be quite a young teacher. Wow.
It must have been
so incredible.
It must have been an incredible item. I mean,
what do you think it was?
What was it? Probably a pencil sharpener.
40 years ago. What was big in...
It doesn't make sense.
What was big 40 years ago?
It was what was big in like the 1980s.
1981, Japanese toys, right?
Probably a Michael Jackson Thriller album or something.
Maybe.
It's pretty scary.
It's just
though.
Robots. Those like just crazy robots. Those Japanese infantry robots you get. Maybe a transformer or two. I don't know.
It's kind of scary that what if he had actually found? So he went to the school to either find the item or find the teacher's contact information in the school files. It's like something out of like a movie with an assassin. He's trying to track someone down, like rummaging through the cupboard, trying to find a name, trying to find a number so he can get his stationery back from the 1980s. Nothing about it seems right. And was he drunk?
Yeah.
There's no way he was sober.
That's what I was going to come on to. And his partner were absolutely pissed.
All of a sudden, it becomes a lot more realistic and understandable. I've never done anything quite that grandiose under the influence of alcohol.
No.
But I could probably see me doing that in 30 years' time, doing something really stupid like this. But fair play to him. I've kind of felt sad he didn't get his thing back.
No, I know. Never mind.
I love, like, there's just so many of these stories that where, like, the police, these sort of, like, really bizarre criminal masterminds we've talked about over the years, and, like, the Japanese police, Just, what the hell? They must be wondering what the hell's going on. Well, bringing this guy out of school. Like,
it must be so much kind of like variety. How do you train for that as a policeman? Two pissed up old people rocking around a high school trying to look for an old robot or something.
It could be a good film though. Heist School, yeah. We'll call it. 63-year-old man and his 58-year-old girlfriend breaking into the school for one last heist and get the rubber, get the eraser and the fucking stationery back. Good God.
Did you ever play the video game School Days? Did you ever play the game Bully on the Xbox?
I played Bully, yeah.
Well, School Days was kind of like the original kind of version of that on the Spectrum. You would... the Sinclair Spectrum, let's make that very clear. It's just a big school and you're running around there and just doing school stuff, really. Throwing shit at your friends. Before the game starts, you sort of... you name every main character. So there's lots of school kids. There's the headmaster. There's teachers and stuff. So you can kind of name the teachers after your teachers at school. You can name the head teacher after your head teacher. You can name your friends. And you start kind of running around this kind of like living, breathing school, just doing tasks and trying to steal things and cause trouble. And, oh, man, it just reminds you of that, really. It would make a really good game.
This sounds like a quest out of that or Bully, doesn't it? It's a
yes,
quest.
Yes, certainly does, yeah.
God. I haven't been back to my school since I graduated in 2008. Have you ever gone back to yours? I imagine it's really trippy. You know, they always like show celebrities on TV who go back to their school when they're 40 and they're like, oh, that's where I used to sit. That's where I got beaten up. That's the drinks fountain. And they have this sort of powerful, reflective experience. I kind of want that. I want to do that as well one day. Have you done it?
Yeah. No, not really. I went back about a year later to collect a history. I got really good results in my A-level history, and I sort of went back for the history award, I think. Or maybe it was the English award, either
way. History award?
I rock, I rule. But yeah, it was weird because you were allowed, because it was like a drinks reception in the staff room, and it's like, nah, I'm over 18 now. I know I can drink and have a glass of Prosecco or whatever, but I don't want to do it in the staff room where the teacher smoked and drank really horrible coffee.
That would be a bit weird. It's weird. I don't ever... I'm one of those people that never really thinks back to their school days. Like, some people I know, some friends, they're very, like... They face towards the past. They always talk about past experiences. And I'm often so consumed by the future that I never look back. But I think I had a good school experience. One year, I won loads of awards for being the most improved, like, student in the entire school year. And the sad truth is... The reason it happened is when I was about 14, I had a trampoline in my garden and I had my friend on it and I did like a seat drop where you sort of sit down and bounce back up. And as I went down, my friend jumped on my wrist and snapped it in half. And like my wrist fell off.
Flopped off.
It was pretty unpleasant. And it was my left hand, which is my writing hand. And so for the next like 2 to 3 months, I couldn't write and I had to dictate all my answers, all my knowledge to a member of staff, like somebody there who worked there would write it down for me. And for one of the...
Oh, God, that is so boring. What a boring job to hear what 11-year-old Chris Broad has to say about things.
14-year-old, I'll have you know.
14-year-old.
At the end of the year exams, right?
3 + 5.
It was that. At the end of the year exams, right, I had to... I was put in a room with this woman and for some reason I guess because I'd be a distraction to the hall, to all the students doing the test. So I got my own room and I remember doing a maths test and I kept screwing up all the answers. It was like, what's 10 plus 8? And I'd be like, 19. And she'd be like, really, Chris? And I'd be like, oh, really? I mean, 18. And like that happened for all of my exams. And so my math score went up like astronomically. I became like the best from like the worst student at maths and physics to like the best. And I also remember like I had to dictate an entire story for one of the tests. It was like English language. You had to like write a story out of nothing. And I remember we had 1 hour to write it. And for the first like 15 minutes of the exam, I dictated this story. And then I was like, actually, this is shit. Cross it out. We'll start again. And she looked like she wanted to slap me in the face. Those were the good old days. Real power.
You sat there like fucking Don Draper in Mad Men. Take this down, secretary. Chris Broad mused. I think the Weimar Republic was destroyed by this and that, and I think that Joseph Lister invented antiseptic this way and that way.
Shut up, Chris.
Is that the sort of... It was pretty cool. I'd love to go back. I don't know. The story must have been shit. To think up a story out of nothing in 1 hour, it was like, the man sat at the big red table and looked at the green flowers. Honestly, I'd love to go back. I wish I could go back and experience that magic.
This is the plot of Black Rain.
Michael Douglas got on the plane. He was a foreign barbarian. We'll be back with the fax machine and your stories and questions, guys, in just a moment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head to head in a fight to the death. as we decide which film does it better. And for the whole of January and February, we're taking film suggestions from you, our listeners.
But he said to me, I was putting on, and because we've done the social network, and he's like, why are you doing all these good films? And I said, oh, well, you know. And then I had to admit that other people pick them, not us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Join me, Alex Zane, with Chris Tilley and Vicky Crompton every Monday and Thursday. Search Clash of the Titles wherever you get your pods.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from Izumi in Mataka, Tokyo. A question for Chris. This is starts the email. Hi, Chris, Oji-san, and Uncle Pete. I like Uncle Pete because there was a character on Vic and Bob called Uncle Peter. Big, just an old, craggy-looking man. I think he's still with us. He's from, like, the north, kind of like Yorkshire way. And he would sort of go, Donkey! Donkey! And you can't give boost at baby. Like, he'd sort of talk like that.
I think
that.
I remember
and
that.
He had a big fro. It was brilliant. Anyway,
I remember that.
A question for Chris. Are there any foods you disliked but now enjoy over your past decade here? And Pete, are there any foods that you were suspicious about but weren't as bad as you thought? There we go.
Easy one. When I first got here, do you know what nankotsu is? Have you heard nankotsu?
No, but I imagine it's something soupy.
It's not soupy at all. It is cartilage. Chicken cartilage.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
And nankotsu, it's kind of like deep... They basically get chicken cartilage and then deep fry it, batter it, whatever. It's very kind of crunchy. It's basically just pure collagen. And it has this sort of chewiness to it, but also a cheeky crunch. And, you know, if you look it up online, chicken cartilage... It doesn't look edible. It doesn't look good. And certainly the first few months, the first year that I was here, my friends would often eat it when we went out for dinner a few times a week at the local izakaya pub. And I'd be like, how the fuck can you eat this? This is just a bone. It's like just eating a battered bone.
It's just a bone.
Just a bone. I'm not a dog.
Just a bone.
And then by the end of the year, I loved it. It's my favourite thing. It's just so good. It's just the nice saltiness of the crispy batter, the succulent cartilage. I feel like a monster just talking about it. I feel like a complete fucking Frankenstein's monster. But it is good, and I will give you some the next time you come to Japan, and you'll be converted as well.
I think I fought succulent cartilage in that video game. I was in there was the Square Enix bar in Akihabara that was there. I don't know where, I think it might have closed down by now, but it was just a lot of like video gamesy sort of stuff in there. And one of the games was... I don't know. Basically, I ate a chicken's foot. Obviously, bigger in China than it is over in Japan. But you do see it every now and again, and I thought this is going to be disgusting. But I mean, there's nothing to it, but it wasn't horrific, and I can see why people eat them. Like, we don't eat that much. We don't use everything. I was sort of throwing away a chicken carcass yesterday because I'm a fox. And I was like, what? Like, who's like? We don't really use much of this at all. I should have created a soup with it. I should have done more stuff with
this chicken to make
the most. It's I'm not very resourceful in that sense. But I will dry out a wishbone and pull it.
Good man. I do remember that when I went to China, I remember staying on this terrible, terrible farm. Really bad farm.
A terrible
and
farm.
They just killed like a chicken right in front of us after a long day's hike and then just cooked the whole thing, just served us chicken on like in a bucket. It wasn't good. Not going to lie, it wasn't overly edible. But I remember I do remember the feet, and they were also absolutely shocking. But that's not really a food we get in Japan. Chicken feet, you don't have to worry about it too much. It's a rare thing.
Unless you're in the Square Enix cafe, long defunct.
I think it is, isn't it? We got one here from Denise, who says, hello to the ever-charming Pete, and I guess Chris too. Well, thank you very much, Denise.
Yes, please.
My name is Denise, and I'm a new listener. I went to Japan for the first and only time in January 2019 with my twin sister to see an anime concert. We live in Florida in the US, and in Japan we met up with our online friend who introduced us to her American friend living in Japan. The crazy thing is, this friend was from Florida as well, same as us, and grew up in the city right by us. My question for you two, have you ever met someone for the first time in Japan that could have been your neighbour back home? Thank you very much, guys. Denise. I mean, this did happen, actually. I was at a bar that I often go to, in Tokyo. I won't name it because it's my little, it's my favourite bar of mine. But there was a British guy managing it, and I remember asking him, like, where are you from, mate? And he was, he said he was from a town literally like a 5 minute drive from where I was, like, born, like, really, really frighteningly close. I'd never met anyone from like the same county as me in Japan, let alone from like one town over. And I was like, no way, mate. Oh my God, I live like, you know, half a mile from there. And he went, ugh, and walked off. And that was shit. It's not like, when I see Irish friends meet another Irish person, it's like they've just met their favourite person, their brother, their sister, a member of the family. Meeting a British, another British person, even from the from like the just around the corner, meeting a fellow English person, it's just rubbish. Nothing happened. I was really disappointed by that.
I met a few like Brits over there, but I mean they're mainly like Welsh, which kind of takes me back to when we were doing some kind of function, and I've got a couple of we used to have a guy who used to work for Stack called what's his name? Why have I forgotten his name?
Oh my God, you're forgetting
Sam.
Your employee.
Jesus, terrible. Sam, he was... it seems inconceivable I forgot his name. Like, I love that guy.
Worst boss
but
ever.
But he was... He's Welsh, and I've got another mate who's Welsh, and I sort of... Gav, and I sort of went, I know people do this all the time, but your accents seem quite similar... So I introduced them to each other and went, have you met Gav? Have you met Sam? Blah, blah, blah. And I sort of went, I know people do this all the time. It's like, you know, in introducing your two gay friends, you'll get on. You'll probably get off with each other. You'll probably get married or something. And you do that and it's embarrassing. But I did these two Welsh guys. And to my credit, they did figure out exactly where they were both from. And one of them had sex for the first time behind his mum's cafe.
No.
The other one's mum's cafe. Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Lost their virginity behind where his mum used to live, where the other guy's mum used to live. Fantastic.
What a conversation opener. Bloody hell.
What a conversation.
How did he feel about that? Was he like, oh, that's great. I'm glad he did that. How did he react to that?
Welsh people, look, my mum's Welsh. They're right old dirty rotters, a lot of them.
Well, Connor is Welsh, so yes.
Yeah, exactly. Dirty. All of his YouTube, dirty. Dirty boys.
we got one here from Ivan from California. He says, hi Chris and Pete. Chris, on your YouTube channel, are there any topics you're quite interested in but are too spicy for YouTube-kun for whatever reason, aka adult entertainment, Japanese conspiracy theories, etc.? Pete, do you have any suggestions for fun, edgy and surely demonetizing topics? May the algorithm be with you. Ivan from California. Any thoughts, Pete? Edgy, fun, excitement. Yeah. I mean, everything I'm not.
Chris is very much part of the... he's a gun rights activist in Japan, and he wants everyone to have a gun. But he always talks about it to me, but he never says it on his podcast. He never says it on his YouTube. He's obsessed with guns. He wants everyone to have an assault rifle. It's really weird.
Definitely. It's everything I stand for.
So do that.
So
do
vocal
that, Chris.
About that. I you know, I've toyed with doing like a hostess bar video before. It's not that kind of spicy though, really, is it? I think the reality is a lot more mundane than you'd think. So that's why I've never done that. There's not really anything I wouldn't touch. The only thing I look for is just a video is something that interests me, usually that I can have like a funny angle on or interesting commentary. But no, not really. There's nothing that I wouldn't do. I wouldn't necessarily humiliate myself like some other YouTubers would, although maybe I have done that a few times. I don't know, really.
Do it on the
podcast right now.
Yeah,
I don't know though. I'm thinking of doing some edgier stuff this year, but I don't know what that is. I don't know what constitutes as edgy. I'll think about it. There's like, everyone always asked me to do that bloody penis festival. You know, the festival where and I think Joey did it a few years ago. And it's just nothing about it. It's like, you can read about it in an article. Yeah. You can look at a photo. That's all you need to know. I don't need to go there and cover it. I don't need
maybe
to
maybe just
it.
Go around, like, you know, do the usual kind of YouTuber stuff, you know, talking about, you know, the gaijin seat on the train. But just shit your pants. Shit your pants on the train.
And this is why
no one will sit next to me. Have you shat your pants? Yes, that's not part of this. And what's it next to me on the train? Yeah, because you smell like shit.
There's a reason I don't listen to Pete Donaldson's YouTube ideas. And I'm not going to start anytime soon. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to reportinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Pete's a disgrace. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to do it all over again next time. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have a great week. And we'll see you later on to do it all over again right back here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
I shot my pants in the robot
Stop
cafe
it.
And the robot came and cleaned it out.
Get out.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.